Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Oh, that bad?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm going to try not to barf.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh.
My baby bees, it's your girl B, and welcome back to B's Celebrity Truth or Dare. Okay, so on this episode, we've got the one and only Gianmarco Cerezzi. Now, I heard that he was in LA for just one day, and I knew immediately I had to get him into the studio. I did it all for you guys, okay? This episode is amazing, so sit back, relax, grab yourself a snack, and enjoy the show. Gianmarco?
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
Happy to be here.
Welcome to B's Celebrity Truth or Dare!
Thank you.
You know what? I noticed that you are a theater kid, just like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do some warm-ups?
Well, I already did mine for the day, but sure, we can do more.
Okay, we can do more.
Yeah, what's your go-to if you gotta speak publicly?
Well, I gotta speak, I just kind of start with like a... just let loose. I did this the last time with this other guest. His name's Kaylin Allen. He's also a theater kid.
Yes.
Yes. So we did... The episode hasn't come out yet, but we did a whole thing with, like, animal noises and different, like, villain characters. I'm not going to get you to do all that today because we get some other exciting things.
There was a time I could do the, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Then I hit an age and I said, I do... there's a rap. There's a rapper named Mac Lethal. And he does it really fast. So I just know the beginning is like, I adamantly attack the alphabet with an anecdotal algorithm made of adamantium, like an Adderall addicted anaconda or an alcoholic or an asshole like A-Rod, no anabolics. And it goes for on and on and on. And I do the whole song.
Oh, so that's wow.
That's my warm up. I can't do it as fast as he does.
Okay. Is he a white rapper by any chance?
How could you tell?
It's giving white rapper.
Tell me why.
I think it's very like...
Because it's really good?
It's very good. It's very good. And it's very analytical.
Yes.
And very professional and very Adderall, you know? It's very on it.
Yeah.
It's like giving 9 to 5 and just there at the boardroom meeting and just switched on and on it.
You're right on the money, but it's very good for articulation for the stage. So I like to do it I do it once a day, probably.
Really?
Because just, you know, I go on stage at night and that's my like go-to.
And you do acting too. So you've been on the audition room or did you come into the self-tape side?
I started in the in-room where I could walk in and make up for my lack of acting abilities with the warmth that I entered the room. And then I had that moment stolen from me. And now it's just the tape.
Yeah.
And it's been a low batting average.
The tape drives me insane. I had way more luck in the room.
Of course.
Because then I could just, I don't know, maybe it was just like you could, I don't know what is going on.
They're seeing more people with those tapes.
They're seeing more people.
Because of course, and then they look at your slate, you go, hi, they got, nah, I didn't like it. And they swipe.
Next, yeah.
And they gave you 15 pages.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Oh my God. I don't miss the anxiety, like the pre-audition nerves.
Yeah.
I remember I would get so nervous. This one time I was auditioning for a pilot. This reminds me, I should drink some water. I was so nervous. My mouth was so dry.
Uh-huh.
The cast director had to stop me and she was like, hey, Bernadette, she's like, we can hear your mouth. It's
brutal.
Yeah.
I was
like, every sentence was a struggle because my mouth was so sticky. Like, we can hear your mouth from over here.
What are you supposed to do about that? I was once, someone was filming me and the director said, when you're listening, your mouth is open. And I'm like, now every scene, I'm just like.
You have to keep awful. Your mouth closed like the whole time.
But it's good to be in person. I booked a big commercial way, way before COVID, before stand-up comedy. And I just remember the cast director went behind the ad executives while I was auditioning. He just went.
I'm
the she's the reason I got that.
So she was trying to
take it down.
Take it down.
Which honestly, I could just put that on a sign on my wall.
Yeah, just take it
for
down.
All auditions. Just
take it down. We want more natural.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, so another part of your stand-up is you talk a lot about your parents.
I do.
Okay, so I'm actually almost weirded out how similar our situation is.
Tell me.
Okay, so child of divorce, mm-hmm. not as intense as your situation where it was like, was it 7 days after you were born?
Yeah, very. I have no memory of them being together.
Together, yeah. Which I almost think, actually, that might not be as bad because when you feel like you've lost something, that might be worse because my parents were together for like 13 years and then but they were together a little bit before I was born, but they split up when I was 9.
Okay.
And my dad walked out at that point. But
just walked out. No speech.
No, not at all.
Sure.
He pretended I wasn't there. He just left.
Brutal.
It's so much therapy over here. Therapy. Like one of the first things I had to walk through was like my therapist was like, okay, tell me how it all happened. I'm like, my dad was literally packing up the boxes, pretending I wasn't standing in the living room watching him and he was ignoring me as he's going up and down the stairs, moving out. Like that's
multiple boxes.
He was like packing out, he found someone else. So
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I saw my mom and stepdad get divorced and I was I think 18 then.
Okay.
So and my siblings were younger, so I don't know what's the better age, whether it's when you but I got to see it from a lot of different vantage points.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say all my siblings and me were all up in different ways. So
yeah.
It's just a different kind of bad.
Do you have any full siblings or just
half? No. I have 4 younger half siblings, so 2 total. And it's a joke.
I got it now.
Yeah.
It took a while to hit. I was like, oh, yeah, there it is.
But no full. I'm the only spawn of the original.
Me too.
Yeah.
Only spawn.
Do you have half siblings, though?
4 half siblings.
4 half siblings.
3 on my dad's side, 1 on my mom's side. My dad's been married 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Mm-hmm. A lot of similarities. Those 3 half siblings, do you have a relationship?
I've got 2 older ones, one on my mom's side, one on my dad's side, that they came before me.
Oh, interesting.
And so I was close with because I was raised predominantly by my mom, so I was close to my sister on my mom's side.
Yes.
And the sister on my dad's side was out east in Toronto, because I'm Canadian. We're Canadian.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So she grew up out there, but she'd come out for the summer and all that, so that was fun. Her mom's Sicilian, so she didn't take any from my dad, so
uh-huh.
She would call him out, and it was really entertaining. And then I came into the picture, of course, and then my dad left, and he had 2 sons with a different woman. So that's
where
I've got 1 full black sister, 1 full white sister, because my dad's white, my mom's black.
Sure.
And my dad remarried a Chinese woman, so I've got 2 younger brothers that are half white, half
Chinese. Oh, my God. Mine seems so simple now.
In comparison,
There's Jewish and Italian, you know.
Yeah,
That's wild.
It is crazy, yeah.
That's a lot of relationships.
Yeah.
To juggle. I've been lucky. I'm the oldest. So being in the middle, I feel like it's probably more complicated. I'm the oldest. I'm kind of like, I don't know. I am above it all, just looking at the chaos mm-hmm. below me, being like, I'm going off to college.
Yeah.
Good luck with this.
Yeah. Yeah, the remnants of all that, yeah.
Do you ever think about, are you married?
I'm married now.
Was the wedding, I always think about, as I said to my girlfriend, I said, I couldn't invite everyone.
Yeah.
How much was invited? Was that a tough decision?
No, it wasn't actually.
Was it split up by race and family and everything?
No one was invited.
Ah.
We literally.
There you go.
So Eric's my husband here.
Uh-huh.
We have been together for 11 years and we only got married this year.
What?
We were putting it off for so many years because we're like, oh, we're pretty much like married. And it was just like we got busy with life. And then we're like,
yeah.
You know what? We should just do it. We went down to a courthouse and we just took care of it.
That sounds great.
No drama, no invitations. We mm-hmm. just did it.
And that's one. Now, did you ever think that you wanted a thing, or were you always like, from the time you were young, you're like, I've seen that, it's kind of bullshit?
No, I actually did kind of want a thing, and we still want to do a party. We still,
sure.
You know, because we just moved here and it's kind of been crazy, but we still eventually want to actually have a party and just do the whole celebration.
Party is cool, but
the party
I
party side, yeah.
I hit an age where I went to enough weddings where I realized, oh, part of the reason for this is a family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a family that wants to reunite.
Yeah.
And so I go, oh, that's why I don't have this connection to it. The really good weddings that I've seen, it's like great grandma's there and this is her last day.
Yeah.
And the babies are there and it's just like a beautiful circle of life generations thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I wonder. Like that sounds good to me too.
And I always felt sort of sad sometimes whenever I would see people walking down with their dad and I was like, I'll never have that.
Sure.
And I was like,
he'd be packing his boxes.
He'd be packing his boxes instead, you know? So yeah. And I was like, I was always like really happy to be there, but I'm like, I'm not going to have this life. I don't have like a bunch of sisters. We all grew up together. We're all the same age and like they're my bridesmaids and just that rooted in that tradition, that family. So I just figure like, you know what, let's just give it some time and we'll just throw a party with some friends and whatever family wants to show up, they can show up, you
sure,
know? And it's
sure.
like, but just, I think it's the traditional side of things and those like customary roles, as much as it's like stressful for a lot of people. I feel like when you don't have that foundation, you feel kind of like left out a little bit. What are your thoughts on marriage?
God, it's I'm very skeptical of the whole thing. I've just seen how it means so little, but at the same time I do understand it from you know, depending on customs and family, how they want that. It feels safe.
Yeah,
it feels like a safety thing. I think the safety is illusory, as we've seen people break out of it all the time. And then in a way, my cynical side says marriage is just adding an extra band of security off the volatility of a partnership.
Yeah.
Where you go, but in the cynical, I go, when it's bad, you go, well, we should stick it through because we're married and we made everyone cancel their weekend plans to hang out with us. So we should stay together a little longer.
Yeah.
But then I see on the other side of it, my girlfriend came from grew up in a very religious community. Mm-hmm. And like, I see from that, kind of how it's kind of, you know, the promise and the foundation to go, okay, now we can have kids. We both have like made a little bit of a vow, a commitment.
Yeah.
So I get it. Mm-hmm. But I still don't love the ties to like religion and the ties to government and paperwork. And I don't know. It's a tough question.
It's a tough one. And then I guess you have to think like, okay, just because it didn't work out for our parents doesn't mean that it's not going to work out for us. And really you have to think of it in a way like, okay, that's just like the legal side, the marriage side, but it really is to do with like your relationship with that person. Because some people, they get married and they're like, why didn't anything change? Like, I thought it was going to be different after we get married. It's like, no, it doesn't change when you get married.
Yeah.
There's a formality, but it's your relationship with that person. So like after like 10 or 11 years, we're like, okay, we have no kids. We're not tied together
any other way.
We're still together. I think we're good. Like, you know,
I think another way I have been thinking about it more is like, because we saw divorce or the deterioration of a family, there's almost this like, you can get married and you might get divorced someday and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there's this thing in my mind of like, oh, you should only get married when you're sure you're not going to get divorced. And because I am a realist, I'm like, well, that's a very real possibility of divorce. And then another part of me goes, well, just because you might get divorced today or someday doesn't mean that you shouldn't get married. It's almost like you're preventing yourself from committing to something because you know it might not work out exactly in this perfect idealistic way. And in a weird way, it's, you know, I don't think you should necessarily, when the priest says, do you take her to be your wife forever? You go, oh, well, 5-7 years.
Yeah.
But like, I sometimes think the like idea that no, when I get married, it has to be till death do I part. It almost is like, well, that's the idealistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it go. Just get married for the moment.
Yeah. And you know what? It's one thing I noticed with my parents is that they were not friends. They didn't really like each other. You know, and I didn't know you could be friends with your spouse until I saw my older sister. My older sister on my mom's side is much older than me. Like, she's 26 years older than me. She could literally be my mother. So when I saw her relationship, which was very healthy, with her husband, like, they actually were friends. Like, they got along. They laughed at the same jokes. They actually liked being around each other. Whereas my mom and dad were just, like, two opposite, very different people.
But that's my problem with marriage is like, the divorce is set up to be so, to create so much animosity, like custody battles.
Oh yeah.
It's that's really the part about marriage that rubs me the wrong way is that we've made it so when you do split up, it does have to be very, you have to become enemies. And in a way, it's more like, can you figure out your finances? Because for me, at least, my mom and stepdad's divorce was like so based on like financial chaos. Mm-hmm. My father asked my mom to quit being a lawyer so she could raise me.
Yeah.
And she did. And then they got divorced. She got remarried and, you know, was no longer a lawyer, certainly not making a lot of money. She became a stay-at-home mom to a certain degree. And then when my stepdad got divorced, you know, suddenly he had all the money, he had all the power, and she was kind of helpless in that respect. Wow. And so the divorce became so antagonistic because she had to figure out, you know, I need a certain amount of money. I'm not, just because I want to leave you doesn't mean I want my entire life status to change dramatically. That's not fair. You made all the money. I was home raising the kids. And that's where it becomes so brutal.
Yeah.
And so I just sometimes think a lot of it has to do with figuring out like equality of finances, even if the income streams are different.
Mm-hmm.
It's really complicated.
And there's probably so much resentment on your mother's side.
Sure. I mean, resentment on both. My stepdad didn't want the divorce. So, you know, he's sitting there. He's going like, fuck you. Don't leave. I don't want this to end.
Interesting.
And she's going, oh, I want to leave. And he's going, well, then go.
And she's asking for all this money because it's like, oh, my God.
Well, also, there's a joint account. And it's who's going to take the money out of the joint account first? And he did. And then she, it was a very chaotic day. She picked me up from a voice lesson. And we went home. And my stepfather had a wine collection. You know, he has money. And we got there. And she found out all the money had been taken out of the joint account. Now, for all I know, she was going to do it the next day. Who knows?
Yeah.
It was bad times. Yeah. She was in the basement. He was upstairs. Brutal.
Uh-huh.
And she gets home and she goes, well, fuck, I have no power left. She goes and she gets the wine and box by box, you know, another similarity with your dad,
yeah.
taken these crates of wine to a car to take them away, to use them as essentially poker chips to like, because this was his prized collection. And she asked me, would you help? And it was, I didn't, because in my mind, I was like, this man had been my stepfather for 14 years. I didn't know if this was legal, illegal. I didn't know what the f*** was going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I basically got home and kind of, and my mom wanted to leave and it felt like unfair, but I still felt guilty. You know, she's my mom. But she took two carloads of wine, brought them to a friend's house. I'm just upstairs at home. Like, I think I was like on Skype with my girlfriend at the time being like, I don't know what to do.
Panic Skyping.
and eventually like using that wine, which legally was hers too, because they were married. So they co-owned it essentially.
Yeah.
She used it to get what she wanted out of the alimony payments and eventually get a place of her own.
Wow.
Because in Maryland at the time, you had to live under separate roofs for a year before you could file for divorce.
Mm-hmm. You'd be separated. You had to live separately.
Separate for a year. Yeah. And in that clause, they say you're not allowed to have had sex in that year. I think they changed the law, but this was part of the law.
How would they know?
My thought, I've never looked it up, but my belief is that, I believe we live in a patriarchal society, and they said if the man doesn't want, whoever doesn't want the divorce to happen, the government likes marriage.
Yeah.
Whoever doesn't want the divorce to happen can go to court and say, Your Honor, she can't leave. We had sex last week. That's my thought. Because you're right. How can they prove?
Yeah.
But you can claim.
That's a little loophole to stay locked in if you, you know.
You just say we had sex.
And then you can't just be like, well, no, because they're not going to believe you at that point.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's my thought. It makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's chaos. And again, it's like, it was like the money, if we lived in a world where both of them said, yeah, I guess divorce is okay, could have been a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been a lot better.
So who are you closer to, your mom or your dad?
So that's my stepdad.
I know your stepdad, but just in relation to your relatives.
Definitely my mom now, for sure. My dad, though, when I was a kid, he was like a bachelor, essentially. So I would go to my mom's with this very strict stepdad, younger siblings. I was just a regular kid. And I go to my dad's and it was like just a dude.
Mm-hmm.
A dude who, looking back, like had depression and didn't have friends. But that meant we were staying home. We were eating pizza. We were watching Seinfeld. we were just like, he'd let me stay up. I could watch any movies I wanted.
Yeah.
And he was like my best bud.
Yeah.
And then he had my little sister on that side and like started giving her the attention he used to give me.
Mm, you're like, you little bitch.
Yes. Yes. And then he had a custody battle with her mom. And so was like always trying to cater to this 4-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Because he was so scared. He lost full custody. So he was so scared. All it would take for her to be like, yeah, I want to go to mom's forever.
She's giving her everything that she
everything,
wanted.
Everything. And I'm there. And I'm like a teenager.
Yeah.
At the whims of like a 4-year-old. And it was a bad dynamic.
Oh my
so
God.
My dad, like, it just kind of collapsed and he got older and he's, you know, just a little crazy. And my mom and I have our things, but I think we got a lot closer in our adulthood.
Yeah, that's so interesting because, like, my dad was the fun parent. He would take me to, like, these, like, car racing, like, derbies or whatever, and like to these like classic car shows. He was like the fun parent. You stay up, you watch movies with him.
Yeah.
It was like Beavis and Butthead and like Seinfeld and like all that kind of comedy stuff. And my mom was like the immigrant that was like very religious and regimental and traditional. Mm-hmm. And she was like, get your homework done and like make sure that you brush your teeth before bed. She was like, so it's like she was, you know, you looking back, she was like the parent that actually cared.
You look back at all. I remember my dad, he let me quit the swimming team because I said the pool was too cold. And like at the time I was like, man, my dad is really looking out for me.
Yeah.
He understood this pool was too cold.
Yeah.
We got to go home and watch TV instead. And then I look back and I'm like, he didn't want to drive to swim practice every Saturday.
Do
it. So the moment I said I don't want to do it, he was like, okay, let's go get some pizza and watch some more Seinfeld.
Yes.
And I don't know. In a way you go, kids who are in non-broken homes, like I guess that balanced it out, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's good to have both sides and then you calibrate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
so you saw your dad after he walked out, did you go back and forth or did you not see him for like a long period of time?
There'd be long stretches of absence for sure. I was always the one like making the phone calls and like trying to get him to like, I don't know, pick me up from school. And there wasn't like too much interest. But, you know, here and there he would, you know.
Yeah.
But no, he wasn't ever the one taking me to like swimming lessons or trying. Like that was my mom's like job. Like
sure.
She made it her responsibility. She always wanted me to like, you know, have extracurricular activities and she was paying for all those things. And it was like, another thing he would try and get into my head with like the whole child support money. He wasn't paying much, but he would like talk about how he was like, he's like, yeah, it's just, she's like, your mom's bleeding me dry. Like, and it was only like 400 something a month.
He
was trying to get me to go and talk to mom and just be like, mom, dad's really struggling and suffering. My mom wasn't going to have any of that. But she was really fair. Like she never said anything bad about him.
Yeah.
She didn't try to get into my head, but he was playing some games. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's what you want to say to parents. I'm sure I'm going to have more friends that get divorced with kids. And I almost wish I could like be like, hey, talk to me. I'll tell you what people do wrong.
Yes.
And
yes.
Like, that's the number one. And everyone does it. And I'm sure everyone goes, and then I'm not going to badmouth the parent. And then they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens in court and they, but that, I think the real thing is like, you weren't going to convince your mom to change the payments.
No.
So it's like, just let it go.
Just let it go, bro. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Oh man, parents. But you know, the thing is that you just know, you know, it's funny because it's like people always talk about statistically like, oh, if your child divorced, like you're more, it, like you have a higher chance of getting divorced or something like
have
that.
Have a YouTube show.
Or have a YouTube channel, become a comedian. You know what's really weird? It's like just by even just starting this podcast, I've sat down with so many kids that were like raised by single moms or like children of divorce, like anyone in comedy or people who become like actors or like, well,
my philosophy, I always think it's like, because I remember when I was a kid, I always remember I'd meet kids with divorced parents and it felt like there was some kind of connection. I think there's just some realization of everyone's full of shit a little bit. And I do think that creates like a comedic perspective because you don't just buy the what's presented to you. You question it.
Yeah.
And I think that gives you, you know, for some people it can make them too cynical. And then other times it just gives you the ability to see things from different perspective. Mm-hmm. I think especially with divorced parents, there was always like, I can see things from my father's perspective and I can see things from my mother's perspective.
Yeah.
And I think some people don't have that until they get older or something goes wrong in college or someone dies or something. But like from a young age, you see like, oh, look how different people can be, and they are justified, and there isn't just the good person and the bad person. Mm-hmm. And I do think that's that understanding makes you want to be an artist of some kind, because you want to express the complexity of the feelings as opposed to right and wrong, which is, in my mind, propaganda.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's also that whole, like, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Mm-hmm. And I think we use humor in order to sort of see the shittiness in life as a way of, like, coping and surviving, and then storytelling and other people going, like, oh, my God, I lived through that. I didn't think of it was going to be that funny, but, like, I see it now. And, like, even, like, just like, the most stressful moments, I find myself being able to kind of handle it more than some people.
Yeah.
Just because you can see, like, the humor and the ridiculousness of it all, and just how stupid it is,
and the desire to tell people. Like, I think, like, when I was at my dad's, I'm talking to my dad, and like, I can't talk about the things I think he's wrong about. I'm at my mom's,
of course,
and so like, you have these two audiences that you're very restrained against, and so the desire to have someone you can speak your truth to, you long for it. You have so many opinions, so many things you want to say, mm-hmm. and then when you finally figure out some way to express yourself, you're like, yes,
finally.
Yeah. For years and years I've been wanting to say something.
Yeah.
So that's why I think
when people hear these stories, they don't feel so alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think so much of like social media or just like the whole digital content creation thing is just very curated. So when you talk about like the real shit that happens in your life, in your past, and they see that you've like emerged triumphant. I think that's not like something from a commercial, emerged triumphant. Anyway, when they see that you've come through from that, they're like, oh my God, like I went through that.
You know, my dad, he'll go, how's your mom doing? And I want to be like, do you care? Is there a world where you could go get dinner? Is there a world where you would like have a conversation that wasn't my funeral, where you could talk about the past?
Yeah.
Surely. Yeah. I've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
Italy looked like a fun honeymoon.
Yeah.
Don't you ever want to talk about that weird waiter at the meal you had? You have a whole chunk of your life that you never get to reflect on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sadness of a world where we say marriage should be forever, and a divorce or a splitting up means you should never speak to your ex or whatever. You deny yourself an entire chunk of your existence,
mm-hmm.
and you have to like cast it in this light of like it was never good and it was never anything, and you never have a place to discuss it.
Yeah.
And I think that's awful.
Yeah, there must have been something.
It's not
there.
Human.
There must have been some good times there. That's so crazy. You can just like share a life with someone, sleep in the same bed, like just have these like shared moments, create a child, and then completely pretend that you don't even know each other is nuts.
That's why I don't like, I think I always have a thing with, and people have a lot of opinions where they're like, don't be friends with your ex or you cut your ex out. And certainly, of course, if you have an abusive ex, of course.
Yeah.
But they're really, I think, at least in America, I don't know what it's like elsewhere, where there's like some people are like, no, you cut your ex out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, when you have a kid, that's not a option.
No.
And so maybe creating a world where we believe in that philosophy, and then people have a kid and they split up, it's not going to be a healthy system, because frankly, we built up everything before that to say, when you cut an ex, they're dead to you.
Yeah.
And I go, and then suddenly when a kid's involved and everything's even more complicated and money's involved and tuition, that's when you're going to figure out an emotionally stable way of going about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You should not get married until you are emotionally mature enough to get divorced.
Yes. Oh my God. To be able to handle that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
That should be like on a t-shirt, you know? Like,
sure.
You should like print that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, let's get this game on, because I feel like we're going to be running out of time soon. So we're going to do something really fun. We're going to do a portrait sketch of each other.
Oh my God.
And we're going to get 2 minutes to time everything out. It doesn't have to be good. Actually, if it's really bad, even better.
Sure.
We love it. We love that here. So I've got some
markers. I know how to draw is Dragon Ball Z characters. So I'm going to do my best.
Do a hybrid. I can be like a Dragon Ball Z like hybrid. Like you
sure.
can do whatever you want.
Okay, great.
I don't know if you want any colors. I got black Sharpie. I got some. You don't need.
I'll start with this and we'll see where we go from there.
Keep it real simple.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to time this out. Two minutos, and we're going to just do the best that we can do.
Okay.
All right, Eric, you timing us? Okay, we're going. Okay, go.
Well, 2 minutes is not a lot.
Well, you know what? We bumped it up because before it was only like 60 seconds, and that was like highly unrealistic.
Yeah, you know, Da Vinci did the Sistine Chapel. It took him 10 years.
And you're giving me only 2 minutes? I am not a very good sketch artist, but I am kind of like a character, like a artiste a little bit.
Really?
This is sort of...
Well, that's not fair at all that this is the challenge.
I think I might be kind of... okay, maybe an artiste is a bit of an overstatement here. Okay. I gotta get... Make sure I get everything. This is looking a lot like some of the other drawings I've done. That's a problem. Okay, I gotta get your beard. I gotta leave enough time for that. Okay.
What do I get a warning of where we at?
I think Eric will give us a warning. Okay. Oh, yeah, I gotta get the glasses. We're almost done. To make sure I give you hair. That beautiful Italian hair, those locks. You're never going to go bald.
Oh, I don't know.
Is your dad bald?
I'm doing
bald?
The spray. No, he's not. But they say that you get it from your mom.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how... Yeah, maybe that's the truth.
I'm
I don't
doing
know.
The Dragon Ball Z, so you gotta...
Okay.
Oh, man, I...
All right. Oh, I gotta give you ears. Okay, I think I feel like I'm sensing that we're running out of time. You get like a swing set thing happening. I can't see what your shirt says, but I'll just do some like blue scribble. Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Is it the timer?
The timer, yeah. Okay. I think Eric, he's like always so generous with like the time. He wants to give us as much time as possible. Okay. You know what? Markers down. All right.
Okay.
Who wants to go first?
You go first.
Okay. So what we're going to do is I'm going to... It's actually not that bad.
Let me see. Wow. It really feels like you have a style.
I do have a style.
I mean, I could see 10 of those... on sale for like an ungodly amount of money, and you're like, really? And
really? Like,
yeah, this is, yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah, it's, it looks a lot like I had Aristotle Atari here.
Uh-huh.
He's like a comedian, and he said I gave him a bit of a blockhead. He looked like SpongeBob. So I think that might be a running theme here.
Sure.
Sandwich head.
Yeah. I think it's a vibe. Yes. I mean, I can see it like as a cartoon.
All right. I'm so excited to see this right now.
I felt good about the head shape and the hair and then the glasses and then everything else. So but then that's the six pack and that's like the Dragon Ball Z, like the you're making an energy ball.
Okay, you gotta show that right now. That is so good. That's actually pretty good. That's a good character right there.
Yeah.
I'm loving the muscles.
Yeah. This is Goku. This is you and Goku did a fusion.
Oh my god, I love it.
So
can you autograph that?
I would be honored.
Yes, autograph that. Oh my god, that's so good. I will autograph this one too. Actually, I'll pick a different color. I'll pick a blue. Just give it a little extra spice. So this is yours. I don't know if you like drawing, but if you want to scribble.
I would love that. No,
this is your,
I love
your,
it.
Your book, your little drawing pad.
Thank you so much.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have another one in here from a prior episode. And this one is from Kaylin Allen. He drew this for me.
Oh, sure.
Yes. I said, it was looking a little tribal, and he's like, tribal? Yes. That's so good. I love that. Thank you. I'm actually impressed with what you were able to get done. You're actually pretty good.
Oh, I thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I love it.
That's very generous. Thank you. I've morphed.
I love it. Oh, my God. Okay. So we are going to do, we're going to get into the game of Truth or Dare.
Sure.
We do have some time. But anyways, okay. Before we run out of time, let's just try and get through as much of this as possible.
Great.
So, truth or dare?
We did a lot of truth. Let's do a dare.
Let's do a dare. Okay. I like the sound of that. Okay. So, I think we should actually start strong and do a gross candy roulette dare.
Okay.
So I've got some nightmare candy flavors here. I've got ketchup, sour cream, and possum.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be three rounds.
By the way, ketchup sounds great.
Do you like ketchup?
Oh, I'm like, if no one's looking, and even if they are, I'm hungry.
What?
I'm putting that packet.
You're sucking on that ketchup?
Oh, I could absolutely.
Damn.
The salt, the vinegar.
No, I do like ketchup, but it has to be with something. There's no way I could just
yeah more ketchup
on packets like that.
I could absolutely.
Oh my God,
it's so good.
Okay, it's not as bad as sucking on mayo. I feel like that's that's getting into psychopathic territory. Like you're sucking on that cream sauce that's on the go. Like
that's
taking it too far. Okay, so we're gonna rock paper scissors for the ketchup and sour cream, but the possum one we're both going to have to muscle through.
Great.
Okay, so and I'm only gonna do like a one time thing. There's no three round. Like okay, we have to so it's like rock paper scissors. Ketchup, sour creamer, yeah.
Great. Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Is that when we do it? Shoot.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm just.
You're trying to psychically anticipate. Rock, paper, scissors.
See,
damn!
That's exactly what I said.
No, shoot. Oh, yeah.
No, I was saying we go and shoot. I was saying, are we going rock, paper, scissors or rock, paper, scissors, shoot?
Just rock, paper, scissors.
Great. I'll take it because I won. I was waiting. But I'll
take it. No, we'll do this again.
No.
We have to do this again. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to go your way.
Yeah, we're going to do rock, paper, scissors.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I never grew up doing the shoot thing.
Sure. It's regional.
Maybe it's regional. Maybe it's like an East Coast American thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably wrong about that. But anyways, let's go. Rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, I messed it up. Okay. Now we'll do it. On scissors.
We're doing it for on scissors. On scissors. Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Oh!
Okay.
Okay, so you have to have the ketchup one.
Good.
Which you don't mind anyway. So here you go. If Archie McPhee wants to sponsor us, I'd be down for that. They do.
I got to tell you, I'm excited. I'm excited for this. This is the one I wanted.
I'm going to suck on that. What is that, like, perfection?
Like, definitely not the texture I'm used to ketchup being.
It's hard ketchup.
But, yeah, it's not great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have these on me.
Okay, yeah.
But.
Not a travel not, and go
not
candy.
Not terrible, though. Not terrible.
Okay. Yeah, I heard that these were kind of like, we're going to warm up to that. But I know the possum's going to be deadly. And we're both going to try that.
But what does it mean, possum?
You've tried the possum, like the animal?
Yeah, no, I know the animal. I've never, but it's not like I'm like, oh, yeah,
it's
this is possum.
It's supposed to be like really gamey, like gamey meat.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently it tastes very like smoky and gamey. I wish I had something for you to like, a little spittle thingy for you to, you know, because like, is there anything for you? I guess you could put it back in the packet, save it for later. That's kind of reminding me of like Napoleon Dynamite. Like, you know, he's got, Remember Napoleon Dynamite? There was a girl that... No, that was Napoleon Dynamite. That was Ferris Bueller's Day Off. At the end of the episode, not the episode, the movie,
yeah,
there was a girl with a gummy bear and the principal's in the school bus. Did you watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
I did, but what did she do?
She was like, I got a gummy bear. Do you want it? It was in my pocket. I have it warm for you. And he
really?
Was like, yeah, that was like the last scene. After the principal has been at Ferris Bueller's house,
uh-huh,
trying to break in, and he busts in, and then like the dog tears to pieces, and then he ends up getting a ride back on the school bus. There's a little girl that he sits with, and it's like the one girl that no one wants to sit with, and she's got a warm, hot gummy bear for him.
Oh.
So that brought it right back, because now you're kind of saving that for later.
I gotta watch that movie again.
Yeah, classic. I love Ferris Bueller's
We're
Day
definitely
Off.
At a, like, we're, no way Gen Z knows that movie.
Oh, they should, though. Breaking the Fourth Wall, like, so good.
Yeah. But
so
the problem is, we don't have, no one watches TV anymore, so there's no, like, there's no, oh, this movie's on. What is this?
Yeah,
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So they're never going to see it.
Yeah.
Culture is dead.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Seinfeld, like the Gen Zers, they caught on to Seinfeld. I love Seinfeld. That was like, that's probably
Seinfeld.
My
that
favorite
my...
show growing up. Like, no one understood that. Like, anyways, we gotta keep
sure,
going.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Scissors. Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors. Yes.
Oh, okay. That was funny when the last round, when we kept on getting the same ones, I was like, what is happening here?
Well, they do like competitions, and some people seem to statistically be able to beat the odds, suggesting you can read someone.
This smells like a, you smell it.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it. They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Doesn't it smell like it smells like a strong sour cream and onion chip.
It smells kind of good. Oh. That bad?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm going to try not to barf.
Oh, my God. Oh. Have some water here, quick. Is it really that bad?
I'm not exaggerating when I say that. My whole body was like, get that out now.
I want to try. Can I try it? We'll ruin the
try
game.
Try it. Go for it. Are you okay with that?
It's meant, like, it feels mental. Like, I think I could let myself get ill.
But you're
in my brain, I'm like, yeah, that taste, you don't associate with a hard thing in your mouth.
Holy sh**, powering through that.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I take pride in my ability to do it. My girlfriend was raised kosher, and she's not kosher anymore, but she like can't overcome the difference of textures.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
So like she's never had pork. I would kill for her to have pork.
Oh, some bacon.
You know, she got oysters, no bacon. She's never had it. And you know, if I get her to try shrimp, she just like it's like the texture is so off-putting to her.
Shrimp is a little strange though.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like I pride myself. My mom asked me, she's making dinner, what do you want to get? And I love to be able to go, Mom, I'll eat whatever.
Okay, right now.
Now, if I got home and this was on the plate, I'd say, Mom, please, I didn't want this but, you know.
Okay, you're having a full conversation right now with that in your mouth. I can't even believe it.
But I can tap into it. There's moments where I go like, oh, God.
It's like an onion sock, like a dirty sock soaked in onion, like. Juice.
We're not even making it worse. I can't overcome that.
You know what I'm saying? That is foul. It's like, you just get, this looks like a perfect mint candy. If you want to like fool someone, you just say, hey, just eat that. Okay, let's do quickly the possum.
Yeah, I do want to give this as, where's the other wrapper? Can I put it there?
Oh yeah, I'm just like, I just put it on top of this. Who cares? All right.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors. We're getting the possum. Oh my God, it's going to kill me. Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Actually, why are we doing that? We're both doing the possum.
Okay, let's do it. You were about to beat me, so I'm glad we... Okay.
Here you go.
All right, now, If you throw up, you have to release this episode. If you throw up and you write me, you go, hey, we can't release the episode because I threw up at that one part, I'm going to be bummed.
Yeah.
So don't throw up.
I won't. Actually, you know what?
Throw up might actually be really
good material.
It would go viral, you know.
Okay, you have to do a smell test.
I did a podcast where I tried a Zin for the first time, and the tobacco pouch thing.
Oh.
And I mean, I got so ill. You could watch it.
You
watch
the podcast. I got like sickness.
Yeah, it was awful.
Because I don't like green.
Okay. Doesn't.
Okay.
You can't think of it as possum. You got to put that out of your head.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Does yours have a hair in it too?
A bit of possum hair. Just say it's...
All right.
Not as bad as the sour cream, but still really bad. Which one's... How are you feeling? This one's really sweet.
I guess, but if you let any part of you think of it as like, this is meat, it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this one. I don't like this one at all.
Take it out. Oh my God.
Mmm.
I can't stop.
Whew, man. I like these. These are fun. These are a fun party trick to put these out.
Oh my God. Yeah. Absolutely. Those just look like regular mints.
That makes me want to do the give out candy for Halloween.
I'm going to link this so that way people can actually order them. Archie McPhee from Amazon. A good Amazon buy. Okay. I don't know how much more time we have, so I want to get us to do another dare before
Let's
we
do
wrap
it.
Up
another
the episode.
Dare.
We're going to do a bad Yelp review dare. And you're going to go through and you're going to... deliver it like a Shakespearean tragedy, big, dramatic, full of theatrical flair. And so you're going to read this horrible Yelp review for this like really shady like motel. Sorry, there's a bit of slime on my phone.
Okay.
So
this is for a shitty hotel.
Yeah, really, really bad, shady. I wouldn't even call it a hotel. I'd call it a motel.
Okay.
And you will read this Yelp review out. This is the first time that you're seeing this.
So you want me to...
Deliver it like a Shakespearean song. I know you're a theater kid. So
sure.
You got it in you somewhere.
Change the words or just the theatricality?
Just the theatricality.
Theatricality, okay.
Yes.
If you enjoy feeling like your life is in immediate peril, then this is the hotel for you. If you like blood stains on your sheets and slashes in your comforter, then don't look any further. How about some roaches and bed bugs to keep you company for the night? If you like getting robbed, being watched, hearing domestic disputes, children screaming and police sirens, I would highly recommend this hotel. I have never seen or smelled anything as disgusting as this inn. My room smelled like somebody died while smoking a cigarette, and I wouldn't doubt if he was shoved in the couch. I walked in and immediately walked out. I got contact high from just walking up to the building. The manager said the best they could do is send housekeeping to check things out. No refunds! Do yourself a favor and never go here. 1 star.
Yes! That was so good.
Thank you.
I feel like the life has been restored inside of me. That was amazing.
I was channeling the hotel I was staying at the comedy club this past weekend.
Yeah. It wasn't as bad as that one, though. There's no way.
It was close. I would gladly take blood on the mattress for hot water.
Oh.
100%. If I had to choose between the two.
That's a hard go.
Hard go?
That's a hard go. But before we wrap this episode, I have a friendship bracelet for you.
Oh, my God.
I'm welcoming you into B's Friendship Club.
Wow.
Which one do you like? Do you want rainbow one? Which one suits your fancy? This one?
All right, let me look.
You get to pick.
I do love rainbow.
Oh, I also have, I have a green one for you too. If you want to,
let me see green.
See which one you like. I think you wear bracelets.
I love rainbows. I love wearing bracelets. I love rainbow, but let's go green.
Green, forest like green.
Yes, forest green.
Love it.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for coming out. Oh my God.
I had such a good time.
Let's quickly just cover your special that's coming out.
I have a stand-up comedy special coming out for free on YouTube. It's called Thief of Joy, coming out September 19th. It's going to be at 7 p.m. EST. You can watch it live, and that'll be there forever.
And that's on your YouTube channel.
On my YouTube.
Yes.
And I got a podcast called The Downside, and I tour. I just tour all the time. Come see me all around America, and soon Australia and Canada. I love going to Canada as much
love
as
it.
I can. And everywhere.
Yay! Yay! Love it. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to take one of these for the road.
Little ketchup pack. Don't mind if I do. Hey, my baby bees. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Bees Celebrity Truth or Dare. We had so much fun hanging out with you today. If you had as much fun as we did, please like, comment, subscribe, hit that bell icon so you never have to miss another episode. We've got more fun episodes coming your way. See you in the next one.
Does yours have a hair in it too?